in the dark hours before Calvary. It's the dark, dark night. Amen. Of agony before the cross. Praise God. And let's read in Luke 22:24. And there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Oh God. Oh God. There wouldn't be any of them left to count before the next day. And they're fussing who will be the greatest. I mean, we better mean business with God, folks, while we got a chance. We need to get our priorities straight while we're on our two legs and running. Praise God. Fussing about who would be the greatest. Like little kids. Amen. Oh, God. They had a wrong attitude about the kingdom. Amen. That's all the way through the scripture. It would take a long time to bring them out of it. Amen. And Jesus, that's one reason he went to the cross. He said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called the benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. He that is chief, as he that doth serve. Amen. You want to rank in the kingdom of God? Get to work. Don't sit and wait for somebody to bring it to you. Get to work. Amen. Don't sit and wait for John to do it. Get to work. Praise God. Quit dilly-dallying around if you want to be great. Get right down to brass tacks and get to work. Hallelujah. Yes, he that would be chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that setteth at meat, or he that serveth, is not he that setteth a meat. But, anytime you see that word but, changes the whole outlook. This revolutionary statement of Christ, but, I am among you as he that serveth. How many know that he is the greatest one? How many know he is the greatest one ever? Amen. How many know that the only way to be great is to be like him? He said, I am among you as one that serveth. Amen. Nowadays, if a man really gets down to brass tacks and gets with it and serves, amen, folks will think, well, what's wrong? What's something wrong with him? Amen. No, Jesus said, I am among you as he that serveth. Praise God. Oh, glory. Amen. You want to be a great preacher? Get to work. Serve. Praise God. Learn the church from the bottom up. Amen. Pour some concrete. Lay some blocks. Lay some foundation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do some paint work, huh? Cut the grass. Cut some trees. Amen. Mow the lawn. Fix the roof. Hallelujah. Church of God, church is going begging today for the lack of one good maintenance man. Amen. But everybody's looking around the highway of holiness waiting for somebody else to do it. Why don't they do so and so? Why don't they do this? Why don't they do something else? Why don't they, if we ever find who they is, we'll hang him by the thumbs to a sour apple tree. Amen. Praise God. Get to work. Glory to God. Amen. Boy, there's so much to be done. Amen. Can't shake a stick at it. But one good man that's willing to serve could knock it all in the head. Amen. Pretty quick. If you just keep his eyes open, praise God. Get to work. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. I like this chapter. It tells us some things, you know, that we sometimes don't see. Amen. I'm among you as he that serveth, but ye are they which was continued with me in my temptations. Because you've continued with me in my temptations, Jesus is going to make a statement here, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me. If you'll just stay with God long enough, it's going to come out all right. Hallelujah. One day they needed somebody to pray the prayer of faith for three kingdoms whose armies were famishing in the desert. Amen. And they said, we got Elisha here, and he poured water on the hands of Elijah. He served. Amen, Elijah. I mean, he waited on him hand and foot. Now it's his time for a double portion ministry. Elijah learned the ministry from the ground up. Amen. He wasn't cutting and covering. He wasn't dodging and hiding and trying to get out of work. Praise God. He poured water on the hands of Elijah. Now it's time, praise God, for Elisha to have a double portion. You want a ministry? You need to learn to serve. Amen. You need to learn to put God in his house and his work and his people first. Amen. And get to work. Praise God. Amen. Oh, it's a job to serve. Amen. Yeah, it's a job to be a slave. Hallelujah. But that's the way to greatness. That's a revolutionary teaching of Jesus. Amen. It's a job to work. But most of our children are raised to be good for nothing nowadays. They're raised in front of the boob tube, can't even read. Amen. And can't hardly get through school. Amen. Glory to God. Brother was riding down the street and he saw a sign, slow children playing. He said, it must be mine. Amen. He misread the sign. Amen. Hallelujah. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Praise God. If you'll just stick with him who didn't have a place to lay his head, stick with him through boot camp. I tell you, boot camp won't last forever. You'll have to crawl through the mud forever. You'll have to crawl through the barbed wire with the machine gun bullet whistling over your head forever. Praise God. After a while, we can march in the victory parade. Can you say amen? Jesus looked away down the road. That hasn't happened yet. You know why? Because he wanted to let some more of us in on it. Amen. He said, you've continued with me, and I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father appointed me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on the throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Hallelujah! Amen. The reason it hadn't happened yet is God's mercy that God's extended to you and I, and we can get in on it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Amen. It may cost you some fun to put God first. It may cost you some pleasure to put God first. It may cost you some leisure to put God first. But who said that you was at liberty to have fun and leisure in the first place? Amen. Well, chew on that a little while. Amen. And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. What do you think he desires about us? Amen. He could say the same thing to us tonight. Every one of us will not miss one time. Amen. He'd call our names Amen. And oh, I wish you had to call some people that's gone names before they went down. Before their lives and the things they'd worked for a lifetime. The things they'd worked for in their church here. Amen. One sister poisoned by gossip of a member of this church. Amen. I went to them to try to get them, don't leave your church, I said. Amen. And the one that did the gossiping, he didn't leave. That is right then. Amen. But they left. They quit. They're dead. They died away from their church that they had spent years in. Amen. They didn't have to leave. Why did they leave? Satan desired to have them. He may sift them as wheat. Amen. He's talking about threshing here. How that they run the oxen over the grain in the cut stage as they throw it on the rock or on the flat place or upon the ramp. Amen. They run the ox on it, trample on it with their feet, and they stomp, 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 stomp. Do you know the devil wants to tromp on you? He wants to sift you as wheat. You better treat the devil rough while you can. How you do that? Go to church and praise God and serve the Lord and live a life of prayer and stay in the lids of the Bible. Glory to God and walk with God and love God and love God's people. Amen. I tell you what, there's nobody here I don't love. There's nobody anywhere I think of that I don't love. I even love my enemies tonight. Amen. It's not hard if you just do it. Let God help you to do it. Praise God. Amen. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He wants to stomp, 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 stomp. And he'll not be satisfied until he's ground you to powder. Amen. Oh, how we need to guard in our choices of life. Amen. I told you about those preachers I helped to ordain in Richlands, Virginia years ago. Amen. By and large, most of those preachers have done great and gone great for God. Amen. I mean, there's some of them I call their names. I call some of their names. Amen. David Horton and Mike Roberts and a whole bunch of them we ordained. Amen. That are going great for God. Doing the greatest work every year. They're doing a greater work for God. Amen. But there's some that even helped ordain them that made shipwreck because they made wrong choices. Amen. Some already married made bad choices and brought scandal upon their family. Oh, how we need to seek God in the choices we make. I told them, if you're going to preach and be a success for God and do any good for God, you need to be careful who you married. Not everyone can marry a wildcat like John Wesley did and survive it. He married a woman that was insanely jealous of him and his ministry. It takes a special woman to be married to a preacher. She's got to share him with every congregation he preaches to across the world. She has to share him with the world. One sister in Barbville, Kentucky, her and her husband had pastored the First Pentecost Church. They was pastoring Hydrick, Kentucky then. Amen. And John and Ann Whitsett. I talked to her one day, pastoring over Hydrick, and she was bitter. Ann was bitter. You know what she told me? She said, I want my husband back. You know what was wrong? She didn't want to share him with the church and the troubles of the church. She didn't want a husband that was always gone. She didn't want a husband that was always burdened down with other people's troubles. She wanted to live a normal life. You marry a preacher, you can't live a normal life. Not like other folks. Amen. Your life changes when you marry a preacher. I want to tell you something else. Young preachers, you get married, your ministry will change too. The people that wanted you, amen, for a encouragement to their young people. Amen. And oh my, amen, there's so many young ladies get saved if they have a young, handsome evangelist or vice versa. Amen. And a lot of pastors need a young evangelist like that to encourage their young people to speak their language. Amen. And they can have some great revivals even if they can't preach too much. If they're just nice looking, outgoing, halfway talented, amen, on fire for God, praise God. These pastors that's looking for evangelists like that need somebody like that to come and encourage your young people. Amen. But you get married, amen, that will change. They have you for a whole different reason. That's because you've really got something to offer in the way of power and faith and grace and a ministry. Amen. You can't coast anymore. Amen. Oh, amen. And your wife will always be trim and slim and beautiful. Amen. I mean, sometimes they change after they've had three kids. Amen. And sometimes their size doubles and sometimes triples. Amen. And amen, you don't always have the drawing card that you once had. Hey, amen, you need to get a hold of God and get something from heaven. You need to get on fire for God. Amen. And know which way you're going. And guard your choices. Many a young preacher has been absolutely ruined by who he married. But there's been a lot of folks in church, amen, that thought they married an angel, amen, until he fell or she fell. Amen. Oh, it amazes me how young folks in church will fall out sometimes over the only eligible boy in church. Wait a few years and you'll feel sorry for the one that got him. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, talk to some of these gals around here. Amen. They can tell you a thing or two. Praise God. Amen. Oh, yeah. Amen. Hey, a lot of guys, they're almost getting competition over a fine-looking, eligible young lady in church. Amen. Just wait a few years and talk it over again. Amen. You may be glad you didn't. Huh? Amen. Oh, God. I'm losing time here. Praise God. How we need to guard our choices. Praise God. Hallelujah. Simon, the devil's after you. He desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee. Isn't it wonderful to have the Lord praying for us? Amen. Oh, it's wonderful to have the Lord praying for us. Hallelujah. Amen. Incidentally, if you married wrongly or it turned out wrongly, amen, sometimes you're going to have a loser syndrome if you're not very careful. And that'll carry over in your relationships wherever you go, amen, and whatever else other choices you make in life. Amen. How do you overcome a loser syndrome when things have gone wrong in your life? Amen. And your home has fell apart and your life has fell apart. and it looks like you was, quote, born to lose. Put God first in your life. Do what you should have done all along. Seek first the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise God. My brother been married twice. Both times he married when his back slid. You need to delete this from the tape or send him one of them for all I care. Amen. But both times he made bad choices because his back slid when he married. Amen. And you need to walk with God when you make decisions in life. You see, there's one thing worse than being an old maid or a bachelor, and that's been married 40 years to the wrong woman. Or 50. Or however long. Amen. How do you overcome a loser syndrome in life? Praise God. Get lost in Christ. Give your whole self without reserve to God. Throw yourself into His service. Amen. Give it all you got. Praise God. Amen. We ain't got any time to fool around. We ain't got any time to mess around. Amen. We need to put God first in our lives. We need to do the thing and the choices we make where we live, where we work. I don't tell you, it's better to make less money and have less than to send your wife off to work and leave your children to fend for themselves. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been awful poor through the years. Amen. And my wife is a good bookkeeper. She worked for Scruggs, Vandervoorts, and Barney in St. Louis and keeping books, and she could have went to work. But even though we're as poor as Job's turkey, sometimes didn't have 3 cents to mail a letter. Amen. My wife didn't go to work. She stayed home, raised our kids. Praise God. Amen. I'm not against women working if they've got their kids raised. I'm not against women working, amen, if they've took care of things at the house. Amen. But even then, I think it's still better to have somebody, a keeper at home. Amen. Huh? Amen. I didn't intend to preach this. I'm just reading the Bible and preaching a little as I go. This is called, in case you don't know what it is, expository preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. And so here I go. Hallelujah. And he said to him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both to prison and to death. And he was right then. But the devil can change things so adversely that it will change your whole outlook. Peter didn't intend to do it. He intended to do better. But before the night was over, he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny that thou knowest me. Amen. Praise God. How do we keep from falling? Amen. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. I just prayed till I couldn't pray no more. Get your second wind. Amen. You know, a runner, you know, he runs until he just don't feel like he can take another step. And suddenly his lung capacity enlarges. And he feels like he could run 10 miles. Amen. And oh, I thought the first time that ever happened to me, this is amazing. Amen. I got my second wind and run all the rest of the way home. Praise God. That's what we need to do in the work of the Lord. Praise God. Well, amen. I guess you'd call this things we've missed in Luke 22. Things we missed in Luke 22. And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then he said to them, but now, he that has a purse, let him take it. Take your wallet. Take all the money that you can get. Amen. Take your purse. It's a different day we're living in. It's not the same day that Jesus sent him out on a quick run through Judea before he would come through. Amen. We're in for the long haul now. Praise God. He said, take your purse. Likewise, his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Amen. That's Jesus. Said, get you a sword. You mean Jesus told his disciples to carry a sword with them? What is a sword? That's what you, amen, protect yourself with. And if necessary, amen, you don't want to, but if you have to, amen, at least make the enemy think you're going to kill him if he tries to kill you. Amen. That's why every home ought to have a gun. Amen. Two or three of them. And I think it ought to be a law that every home have a gun. Amen. I'll tell you what, criminal, amen, he'll think second about breaking into a home where that wife's got a gun, knows how to use it. Even if her husband is at work. Amen. Oh, Brother Gillette, up in years, old man, lost out in the country. Amen. Drove up to some hippies out in the country and asked those young boys, amen, how to get to such and such a place. And they began to gather around his car like a bunch of hungry wolves. And there's an old man. He may have some money. Amen. He's prey. Brother Gillette, he nobody's fool. Amen. He knew what they was up to. They thought they had easy pickings. Amen. He reached under his seat and pulled out a .45 automatic and laid it up on his dash. And the boys backed off. Amen. He didn't have to kill nobody, but they might have found an old man dead out on a lonely road someplace. But because he had his sword, well, nobody got killed. That's why we need guns. That's why the stupid people that advocate against guns and voting against guns ought to be thrown in jail. Amen. They're playing into the hands of the criminal. The criminals have all got guns and none of them's registered. They can buy them for the money that they got. They can buy them on the street any time of day or night. You allow this bunch of do-gooders, that's what I call them, to disarm the nation. That's just as good as some people would like. Hitler disarmed the nation and took it over. Amen. Stalin disarmed the nation and took it over. Everywhere the tyrant has ruled, they disarmed the nation. Amen. One reason, brother, that they're going to have to thank Christ about somebody pulling a coup off in America is that we still are armed. And if we have to, amen, we can get old Rick down here to lead the militia, amen, and kindly take things in hand if we have to. Amen. Come on. Praise God. I'm just talking about the things that sometimes the do-gooders, even in church, have missed. Amen. Praise God. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. Peter would use one of them that night, cut the high priest's ear off, and Jesus would have to heal him. Amen. But he's doing the best he knowed how to do. Amen. With his sword. And, amen, if he hadn't cut that high priest's ear off, some folks wouldn't have remembered that that chapter was in the Bible. Amen. But because it is, they'll remember it. Praise God. He said to them, it is enough. Praise God. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, If thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him. There's that angel you was talking about, Jim. Unto him from heaven, and strengthening him. His agony was so great that God sent an angel right out of nowhere from heaven. Praise God, he materialized and strengthened the Son of God in his agony. Amen. Hallelujah. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Amen. And he arose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, and they found them sleeping for sorrow. Amen. That leaped out at me tonight as I prayed before church. Sleeping for sorrow. Many times you find that word "for" in the Bible can be translated correctly because of. This is one case. They were sleeping because of sorrow. I like the way Dr. Kenneth Taylor put it in his paraphrasal. He said they were exhausted with grief. They were in agony too. They were grieving too. Amen. Then why did Jesus, when he came to them, said to them, "Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation." Didn't he sympathize with them that they were literally exhausted with grief? No. Why? Because you can't sympathize with a sleeping soldier on guard. They were on guard. Amen. What happens, Rick, to a guard when he goes to sleep on guard in the service? Amen. Get discharged, court-martialed. Amen. I mean, you go to sleep on guard. What happened when you was in the Navy, Brother Setzer? You went to sleep on the watch. You had it. What, Brother Sexton? They put you in the brig. Why? Amen. Anybody else in the service tonight? Amen, Brother Dole. What did they do when you was in the service? You went to sleep on guard. Stockade. Amen. What about it, Brother Crouchel? What did they do when you was in the service? Woo. Amen. If you survived, in other words, the guy that was close by that was watching you, amen, if he didn't shoot you, you got court-martialed. Why? Because soldiers don't have any right to sleep. Amen. You was in there, wasn't you, Brother Lowry? What'd they do when you was in there?
Of an Article 15, that would be the minimum they would do to you. Otherwise, they'd send you to jail or as your stockade for 6 months, a year, even 2 years, 5 years.
It's a serious offense to go to sleep on watch. Jesus told his three most trusted disciples, "Watch, amen, while I go yonder and pray." They had a dual task to watch and pray. It would do two things. It would keep them from being overcome by the tempter in the time of temptation, which was just a few hours off. Not long at all. Amen. It would equip them. Praise God. It says they were exhausted with grief. Amen. But Jesus didn't sympathize with them. Said, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Amen. 1 hour on guard. But they had borne this grief so long. The Bible said they were asleep because they were so full of sorrow. There is a time that when people get so much sorrow, they go to sleep to escape. It's their escape. Some people can't sleep. Some people do sleep. Amen. I'm like the black man that said, when I runs up against a problem I can't solve, I goes to sleep. It'll be better in the morning. Amen. My wife can't sleep. Amen. And there's a lot of people that can't sleep when things happen. Amen. And it's hard for them to sleep. But these disciples were so exhausted by their sorrow. Still, he didn't sympathize with them. You say, I'm tired. That's no excuse. I'm weary. That's no excuse. Amen. We start out across the country. Amen. Our busy schedule. Amen. My wife and sister car, or my wife and sister Markham in the car, heading out to go to Indiana to preach that fellowship meeting that night. Amen. And that gentleman run that stop sign right in front of me. Amen. And I turned us both around the middle of the road. Amen. And totaled my car and his. Amen. Sister Collins' head lammed up against the roof of the car. Amen. And she was kind of scratched up a little bit. Not much. Amen. But she was crying. She said, I'm so tired. What do you do when you're so tired? You keep it going. Amen. We took her to the emergency ward. I had a scratch on my head where I hit the rear view mirror. Amen. And we took her to the emergency ward and checked her all out. She said, you go on. You're obligated to preach. You go on and preach. I'll be all right. You go on. You go on. I said, I'll stay here. You know, you go on. Amen. So I caught a ride home with the policeman that took us to the hospital. Amen. Jumped in my truck and drove through a driving lane all the way to India. What do you do? Amen. When they shoot one horse out from under you. Amen. Your wife's injured and in the hospital. What do you do? Call off the whole church and go set up with her? No! Call off the battle and call army in and retreat and say, we give up? No! Amen. You carry out your wounded and go on with a battle. Amen. What do you do when you're exhausted? Don't feel like you can go another step. Get your second wind and go on. God will give you rest after a while. Praise God. I'm talking about things we missed in the 22nd chapter of Luke. Praise God. Oh, you may feel sorry for yourself, but God don't feel sorry for you. Amen. He said, I was there all the time. I was taking care of you all the time. I was watching over you all the time. Amen. I put my angels in charge over you all the time. I was comforting you all the time. I was giving you grace all the time. And you didn't even realize it. You couldn't see it for your self-pity. You couldn't see it for whining. You couldn't hear the voice of God for saying, I'm so tired. Hogwash! Amen. Get up and go for the glory of God. Amen. We don't have any right to work. We don't have any right to have fun. We don't have any right to go on vacation. We don't have a right to do anything if we can't put God first. Amen. We don't have a right to leave the camp meeting, the fellowship meeting, the begging. What if everybody did that? We don't have any right to vacate the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Wednesday night just important to Sunday night. What if everybody did that? We don't have any right to lay out on Monday during revival. What if everybody did that? Never could have a revival. Say, oh, well, those old people, they'll take care of it. I hear a rooster crow. Amen. Somebody may be denying the Lord, but not doing what they could. That woman came and anointed his feet a week before he died. Amen. They grumbled and said it ought to have been so. He said, let her alone. He knew he was going to die in a week. Let her alone. He knew the Passover was coming on and he was the lamb. Let her alone. She done what she could. Have you done what you could? You don't have to worry about the rooster crowing if you've done what you could. Amen. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry if you've done your best. Amen. You ought to put God first in all your decisions. You ought to put God first for all your tomorrows. You ought to put God first today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen. Agony. If he agonized, amen, we may have to agonize. I've been with some of the folks in their agony at the Highway of Holiness. Amen. I was there at the hospital. Amen. After Sister Stanford's little girl had got killed, Sister Collins and I ran up there and run up to her side in the emergency room. First thing she said to us, I've killed my baby. We was with her in her agony. Amen. She would have been going to Bible school by now, but all these years, Sister Sharon has agonized the loss of her little girl. Amen. Ah, but you don't have to worry. Amen. About that one. Praise God. Ah, you don't have to worry about little Hazel Ann. You don't have to worry about her making her own decisions. You don't have to worry about her being prematurely widowed by a broken home. You don't have to worry about being wrecked or wrecking anybody else. Amen. She's with Jesus. And you can go to her. Hallelujah. Amen. But oh, the agony. I've stood by some of you when your children made wrong choices in life. My God, being your pastor, we've agonized right along with you. When you couldn't bear it, our heart was broken too. Amen. I've been with some because their children made their own choices in this church. Amen. That they just about lost their mind. In fact, they did. Amen. They've just barely, through the years, been able to recapture their equilibrium because of the agony of their children in which they invested so much of their life and so much of their time, their pride and joy made the wrong choices. What are you going to do when your children make the wrong choices? So many times we're quick to criticize those that are so distraught that they're out of their mind because their kids made the wrong choices. Proved disloyal to the church, disloyal to mother, to disloyal to dad, disloyal to God, disloyal to the Bible. Amen. And you still love them with that same love that you originally had. Amen. What do you do in a case like that? You agonize. Amen. It's translated from the Greek word agonia, a struggle, conflict. It is from agon, a place of assembly, especially the place in which the Greeks assembled to celebrate solemn games, a place of contest and struggle, of exertion to the utmost to overcome all opposition in attaining the goal. Hence, it is used of Christians in their fight to spread the gospel among their enemies and live victorious to the end. This proves that Christ was in a life and death struggle in the garden and that he was not going through experiences of ordinary prayer. Folks, he sweated blood. blood came through the pores of his skin. Amen. And when he arose from prayer,